The Exiled, written by Katie Heikapelto and read by Julie Macy.
Chapter 1. June the 19th. Droplets of blood on the light green wallpaper, like overgrown poppies along the verge. Here, where the hazy grey sky swallows the edges of the immense wheat fields, where you can sense the Tisa, the river, flowing past, even when you can't see it. The river is always present, always on the move, arriving, leaving. It flows like a giant artery through the poisoned fields, where weeds, poppies, cornflowers and dandelions are stifled and beaten back. Past this small town, where life feels unchanged, where time seems to have stopped, while the country around it changes name, fights wars, languishes on the precipice of economic collapse, harbours its war criminals, ashamed of itself but too proud to admit its own mistakes. That country contains dozens of identities, nationalities, minorities, majorities, languages. It has signed the UN Declaration of Human Rights, but doesn't uphold its contents. The river will come into blossom any day now. People are saying it will be the biggest flowering in living memory. Perhaps right now millions of mayfly larvae are beginning to hatch and dig their way out of the mud on the riverbank. Soon they will swarm above the river like a giant, beautiful cloud of flying flowers. They will mate, lay eggs, and die. People gather along the riverbank to celebrate, many taking their boats out on the water, in among the insects, so they can feel the delicate beating of their wings and the touch of the insects' rubbery bodies on their skin. The flowering is a wondrous carnival of life and death, an event the town eagerly awaits and that people celebrate with great verve. Nothing like this happens anywhere else in the world, only at this bend in the river, at the centre of this town, as though the town was special, blessed. Droplets of blood. They converge on the light green wallpaper into a large blackening pattern, a giant amoeba. The wall is around 2.5 metres high, 5 metres in length, and behind it is one of the house's 2 bedrooms. The wall is bare, no paintings, no mirrors, only plain, light green wallpaper, and now that pattern in the middle, the amoeba, the poppy field. A moment earlier, a figure cast a shadow as he sat down at the antique desk by the window. The desk was bare. It had just been cleared, its drawers emptied. From outside came the sound of footsteps, the happy laughter of children walking past. Laughter that seemed out of place in the atmosphere of the room. A road leads directly past this house. In this part of town, all the houses are built like this, snugly against one another, and so close to the road that they form a wall along the narrow pavement. A cherry tree can be seen through the window. It stands on a small strip of grass between the road and the pavement, its leafy branches shading the house so well that the occupants rarely need to lower the blinds, though the afternoon sun shines mercilessly on this side of the building. The blinds in this window are drawn last of all, in a futile attempt to hold back the heat when the summer outside is so sweltering, so oppressive that it penetrates everything. The branches are heavy with cherries, dark red, juicy globes, ripe and ready to be plucked. Will anyone pick them this summer? Preserve them in syrup, organise the jars in rows on the shelves in the pantry behind the kitchen?